I want to tell you some ideas about Tubav. The main issue that I want to bring out, Seif Mais and the Machshava Tchila. Cut to the chase. The main issue that I want to bring out is Tubav is a day which represents the transition into a new generation. Okay, you can summarize it in the pasuk in Koheles, Dor Hoylech V'Dor Ba V'Ha'aretz Le'Olam Oymodos. Tu B'Av is, I'll show you all these different examples. The essence of Tu B'Av is, it is the day when we reflect that it's now a new generation. Now I know a generation is only 70 years, but you know, from when? So, you know, generations are it's a gradual change. Everyone is a different age. Everyone looks at the generation from a different point of view. It's the day in the year when we reflect that we're now entering into a new dar. The old timers are no longer in the limelight.
I can see that.
The young people, it's now their day. They now have taken over the reins of leadership. The attention, the focus is on the new generation. The day of the year when we reflect upon this concept, Dor Hoylech V'Dor Ba, is Tu B'Av. Now let me prove it to you. What are all the things which happened on Tu B'Av? First thing is, it's the day when the Meisei Midbar stopped dying. And that was a very, let's go over what happened on that day, that every there was a gzera. There was a gzera that everyone...
Well, actually, they figured it out.
Right, so they figured out that on this day, every year in the Midbar, everyone dug a great Erev Tisha B'Av, they lie down in the grave, and approximately 15,000 people did not wake up the next morning. Probably the most frightening thing in the world. Everyone dig a grave. What were you thinking that whole night? You're thinking either I'm not going to wake up, and even if I wake up, for sure, someone that I know very well is not going to wake up. Whether it's going to be a family member, or whether it's going to be a sibling, a parent, a child, or a cousin, or some
only males.
Only males. So the anxiety, if it was me, I wouldn't want to wake up.
Because I wouldn't go to sleep.
You wouldn't go to sleep because how could I live with myself? I would rather it should be me.
Myself, you're dead.
Well, think about it. Yeah, what's the choices? If I'm alive, I'm alive. But if I'm alive, I don't have to cope. I'm going to have to cope with the death of someone that's probably very close to me. That's quite a burden to carry on your shoulders. Many people, some people are very selfish, they don't care. Many people would probably say, would rather I be that person than have to carry on my shoulders the burden of living on knowing that my relatives died. Or if you die, that's also not fun, right? What happens when you die? No one came back to tell us what goes on up there. It was a very traumatic experience. When did this come to an end? Here, Rabbi said, please. Rabbi said, when did it come? It came to an end at the end of the desert, the last year in the Midbar. Like they all lie down in the grave, and guess what? Everyone woke up. Every single person who went to sleep woke up the next morning. So what happened when they woke up? It can't be we all woke up. Can't be with our luck is too good. So we must have made a mistake in the calendar. So they went and did the same thing the next day, and the 10th day, and the 11th day, and the 30th day, and the 4th day. They did this until the 15th day. Why in 15th? Because it was a full moon. So when there's a full moon, there's no way we made a mistake in the calendar day. It must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forgiven Klal Yisrael for the chait of the Meraglim. And in the Chazal said it was supposed to be, this is a very fascinating idea, we have to appreciate this, that Tu B'Av is a lot more than just to stop dying. It was supposed to be another 15,000 people who died. Hashem forgave the last 15,000 people. Isn't that amazing? Even though there was a gzera that all these people were going to die in the Midbar, the 600,000 were going to die in the Midbar, the last group that was meant to die did not die. They survived. That shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though there was a gzera, like Moshe Rabbeinu himself said, you know, you let me witness the downfall of Oygin Sichoin. So that means you moichel me. So just like you moichel me for these two kings, I can come into Eretz Yisrael and see and witness the defeat of the 31 kings of Canaan. You see, Hashem's chesed, even though the gzera was etched in stone, Hashem still forgave a portion of the people who were guilty in participating in the chet ha'egel.
There was blood on that. If you
you make a cheshbon, there were 7 days from Tisha B'Av to...
Yes.
No one died. Because if anyone would have died...
They would say... So people,
a period of 7 days...
L'malo miderech hateva. People who normally should have died because their time came, even they did not die, so no one should make a mistake and think that they died because of the chet. Okay, now, what point I want to make, and that's one of the six things that happened. But what's the point we want to make? It's the end of a generation. It's the end of a dar. The dar hamidbar. It was their destiny to die. It was their lot. They have to die. The fact that they stopped dying means this dar has now come to an end. And now we're starting a new dar. Dar hoylech v'dar ba. It's a very sad day to a certain... It's sad and it's happy. It's sad to say goodbye to the previous generation. It's happy. A new dar is here. You give over the reins of leadership to a new dar. It's a very bittersweet day to focus on the end of a previous generation and a new generation. Let's go to another idea. What else happened on Tu B'Av? Tu B'Av, they stopped cutting wood for the Beis Hamikdash, for the Korbanos. Why? Because Tu B'Av is the last. It was the last day when the days are longer than the nights. From Tu B'Av, Mikan L'Av, from Tu B'Av, the nights are longer than the days, which means that the koyach of the sun is no longer.
They're not long.
It can't be September 21st.
Okay, so by
this means that the
koyach of the sun.
The sun is not as strong.
The sun is weakened. It also has to do with the time of the day. Maybe not by us, because our calendars may be a little... I don't know. But basically, the idea is that the sun is not as powerful as it was until now, and therefore, there's no purpose in cutting wood, because the wood that they use for the Mizbeach has to be free from worms. And the only way it can be guaranteed to be free from worms is to be 100% dry. How do we guarantee the wood is dry? It's heated in the intense rays of the sun. So when is the sun no longer potent to dry out the wood? After Tu B'Av. That's why they stopped cutting wood for the Mizbeach. It was called Yoim Tabar Magol. They broke the axe and everyone joined the Kollel. Everyone went to learn the Kollel. They had more time to learn. Before we discuss it in more detail, I just want to point out, what is the sun symbolic of? The sun is symbolic of the previous generation. When Chazal compare Moshe to Yoshua, what do they say? Moshe was like the sun, and Yeshua was like the moon, and therefore, Niskadim Hadaris, you can't compare apples and oranges. It's a new dar. Yeshua was the Levana. The sun's day in the sun came to an end on Tu B'Av, which is symbolic of saying every generation, Lumas, the next generation, is in the ain of Moshe versus Yeshua. Niskadim Hadaris is a reality that exists in this world. The previous generation were the sun. Okay, the previous generation, all the gedolim of the previous generation, Moshe Feinstein, Yaakov Kamenetsky, Aaron Kotler. Okay, can we say that in our generation we have Satna Rebbe? Can we say the Lubavitcher Rebbe? Can we say that in our generation we have gedolim of this caliber? No way. You gotta be foolish to say such thing like that. The previous generation, as far as we're concerned, was the sun. We have gedolim in this generation. Okay, let's not make light of it. They're very big talmidei chacham. They're manhigim. They're manhigim of this generation. But zeh l'mazeh, it's the levana k'neged the shemesh. And that's how it is, unfortunately, in every generation. It's the shemesh versus the levana. The shemesh comes to an end on Tu B'Av. And the symbolic meaning of the shemesh coming to an end, it's toikev, means the previous generation, their toikev, their intensity is over. And now the reins of leadership of Hanhaga is given over to the new generation, to the Levana. Okay, so that's another idea. Third idea. Shiduchim. What happened on Tu B'Av? Lo hayu yamim tovim liyisrael ki t'chamisha asabav v'yom ha-kipurim shalohem b'nois yisrael yitzayis. They would go out, they would borrow clothing. Every girl would disguise herself. She would borrow some clothing that didn't fit her. In order that it should be disguised, white clothing, everyone should look the same. They would go out and they would dance, and the boys would come and watch them dance. And the girls would say to the boys, "Bachor, so noinecha." So the pretty girls would say, "Look for beauty." And the rich girls would say, "Look for money." And the girls had yichas would say, "Look for yichas." And the girls that did not have the money, did not have the yichas, not have the yoif, everyone would focus on their milas. and the boys would watch them dance, and the boys would select for themselves a girl, and they would grab them by the hand. Okay, everything. No machitza. The boys would watch. The girls would dress in white clothing. The boys would watch, and would go and would chop them. How would they chop them? Take them by the hand. Are you allowed to touch a girl? Does it say that? I don't know if it says that. Yeah, I don't know if it says that. I don't know if it says that. Okay, strike that from the record. Mr. Axelrod does not like that. Strike that from the record.
There
are bigger problems.
Political correctness, right?
Okay. Strike them, a garter. Okay, so now, and they would get married. Okay, so this took place on Yom Kippur.
They would lasso them with the garter, right?
This took place, a white garter, because it wouldn't match with the white, clean white clothing. A black garter would clash. Wouldn't look in the pictures. A white garter. So it would not. So this took place on Yom Kippurim and Tu B'Av. Shebohem, this is lo hayu yamim tovim liYisrael. What's this all about? Shidduchim. What's shidduchim all about? Children. Doyrois. The whole tavgan of shidduchim is doyrois. To produce a new generation. It's the transition. It's time now to get serious and start preparing for the next generation. And it all starts with getting married and preparing for having children going forward. Okay, the next idea. Binyamin, very simple. What happened to Shevet Binyamin? They were wiped out.
Yeah.
Wiped out in Pelegish Begiva, and there was a curse that no one from Klal Yisrael should dare marry any survivor from Shevet Binyamin. What happened? They were on the verge of extinction. So one day, on this day, Bezdin got together and they said, the cherem is lifted. A different interpretation of what this means, but basically it means that at least the cherem was only for us, not for our children, and whatever, I don't know the details.
About the incident that happened, the chapin, they gave the aids of the chapin women from the other tribes. That's another topic.
But the point is, the idea is, the cherem was lifted because it was necessary. There should be another door of Shevet Binyamin. Binyamin was coming to an end. In order to guarantee that the door of Binyamin should be, there should be doyres, there should be continuity. Binyamin should have doyres of children, that Klal Yisrael will have Shiftei Ka. Something had to be done, and this was done on Tu B'Av. And the other thing, which is also very, very simple, is that Chutu Shavatim Lo Zem Zem. This is much deeper. What happened on Tu B'Av is, good, he's good. He's really good. Okay.
I'm sorry.
He has koiches. Pretty good. Now, what happened? There was a prohibition in order that the nachla should not get mixed up. In order that the shvatim, everyone should take their nachla, and the nachlas and the erichel should not get mixed up, get all confused, there was a prohibition that no one is allowed to marry a girl or a boy from a different shevet. You have to marry from your own. Okay, what? Lo yisov nachla is mislavchad. Lo yisov nachla, you have to stick to him. Oh, so when was it decided that it was only for the door of the Yotzei Mitzrayim? So it had to be at some point in time when the restriction was lifted and people can marry girls and boys from any shevet that they wanted. When was this restriction lifted? When did they make that decision that we are now at a point where the nachla is secure? Everyone now has their nachla, and even if someone will marry from another shevet, it's insignificant, it's not going to cause much of a difference. It was on Tu B'Av. And what does that mean? It means Tu B'Av was the day when they decided that the door, Yotzei Mitzrayim, came to an end. Because this halacha of lo yisav nachla mi mateh el mateh acher was only for the door, the door that entered into Eretz Yisrael, the boy Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the door bar haaretz. So there was a door of the Yotzei Mitzrayim. They stopped dying. They stopped dying on Tu B'Av. That was the door Yotzei Mitzrayim that came to an end. Tu B'Av was the day when the door, the boy haaretz, came to an end. A new door, a naya door. So what's the common denominator? It's clear as day. The common denominator of every single thing that we've mentioned is Dor Hoylech V'darba v'ha'aretz li'olam oimodes. It's a bittersweet day. The common denominator is, the reality in life is, time goes on, and the old timers, they have made enormous contributions to this world, and they retire. They sit back, they retire, they go on their pension, they come to the kollel, and they give over their shtela, they give over their shtela to a new young generation who doesn't know what in the world they're doing, has no clue what they're doing. But listen, the old generation didn't know what they were doing either. I always remember this story. My mother told me this story. There was a guy, and I saw someone who was 20 years old, 21 years old, and he wanted to get married. He was chalashing to get married. And his father was a very distinguished person in the community. And the father, b'shum oifin, did not want the boy to get married. He was a baby. You're a baby. You're nothing. You're not getting married another couple of years until you settle down. You get a degree, get a job. You get a little older because I'm seichel. You don't know what you're doing. So the son said to the father, how old were you when you got married? You're also 21. Did you know what you were doing? The father had nothing to say. He didn't get married. So you're right. When I got married, I didn't know what I was doing either. You're right. So I should expect from you also to wait until you know what you're doing? Well, anyway, you never know what you're doing. So you might as well learn on the job. You learn on the job. So it's a bittersweet day. It's a day
being malaria.
Halavai.
Some guys don't want
to. They never learn. Halavai. Are you trying to tell give me a message over here? Okay, so.
You
see how I've matured years ago. I would never tolerate such a comment. You see now I can laugh about it. It's a very bittersweet day. It's a frightening day. Dar halech v'darba.
How do you fit in Harugei
Beitar? Harugei Beitar is the same exact thing the Romans. Thank you for reminding me. The Romans did not allow them to. It was a slaughter. They killed millions of people in Beitar, and they did not allow them for burial. And basically, that the door of the Churban, came to an end. And the fact that the Romans said, "Do whatever you want, we're finished," shows that the Romans, it's a different generation. The generation of Titus and Nebuzaradan and the Caesar, that's it. They're retired. It could be the Romans are still in control. The Romans have, they're still in office, but it's a new generation. The door of the Churban came to an end on Tu B'Av. The proof is the last part of the Churban was Harugei Beitar. The fact that the Romans now allow the Jews to bury their dead, it's a new door. And that aspect was something that is it good or bad? You know, it was a terrible tragedy that the Churban happened, but at least we were connected to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, when the next generation comes, what was the Beis HaMikdash? I don't even know what the Beis HaMikdash was. At least you lived during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. So in respect, it's also a little bit sad to leave that Tkufa as well. This is the common denominator of everything that there is to know about Tu B'Av. The bittersweetness of Dor Holech V'Darba. We see this the whole year. Every time you go to a graduation, you see someone retire. You know, it's something which goes on, it evolves throughout the year, our lives continuously. But when you want to take a day and pinpoint the day where this is what the day is all about, to reflect upon the lessons about what this transition is all about, the optimism for the future, and the respect to the people who have brought us to this point in time, and to come to a moment of transition, that is Tu B'Av. Yeah?
When you said you weren't allowed to marry from a different Kabbat, was that like the nice Tzlafchad or
anybody? Anyone in the whole Klal Yisrael. The Dor Bori Haaretz.
Was allowed.
They were the exception.
They ended up, they had permission if they wanted to.
But the Dor Bohe Haaretz was not allowed to marry outside the Shevet. That was the rule. And now that door has come to an end. The door has come now to a whole new Tekufa. Okay, now let's talk about some other ideas.
The expulsion, 1492 is Tisha
B'Av. Yeah.
So at the end of a week's period, perhaps that's when they actually, find the final, the sailing, so to speak, was when they were really
7 days later
put set to sea, so to speak. Either went to Portugal or wherever they ended up.
On Tu B'Av.
When the port was closed,
Seven days later. Okay, there's another idea that Mepharshim said. The reason this is similar is because we get it from Shiva. the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tes B'Av. It's a national mourning. So how long is Shiva? 7 days. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Today is the seventh day. We get it from Shiva. Tu B'Av is the day when Klal Yisrael as a tzibur, we get up from Shiva and you say, it's the beginning of Shiva, because the national tragedy from all generations, the collective tragedy of history, we mourn, and we mourn for 7 days, and Tu B'Av is a time of simcha, and a simcha, some of nechama, at least, to get up from Shiva. And that's not a coincidence that Beitar was the nail in the coffin of the Churban. And the fact that they were allowed to give, they were allowed, the Churban was evolved, the Churban was a long, long process. There were five tragedies that happened on Tisha B'Av. And the last tragedy was Beitar. Beitar, well, really, he plowed, Tornus Roifus plowed the Harbais, that took place even later, I think. But it's one of the major tragedies of Tisha B'Av is Beitar. The fact that on this day we're now able to bury the dead, that shows that it's, the Avelus is over. Not, it's never over. We're misabel the whole year, but a degree of the Avelus, the intensity of the Avelus is now lifted. It's like Rachman al-Son, a person that gets up from Shiva, we're rising up again on this day, at least to some degree. Here, let me tell you another var, and this var is entirely in honor of Rav Michal.
Yeah.
Okay, this var is in honor of the idea of the Dalad Malchus. Okay. I want to show that this day, Golos, is all about the Dalad Malchus. We suffer tragedy, defeat, we suffer many dimensions of Golos and suffering, and all of our suffering is rooted in the Dalad Malchus, Bavel, Paras Hamadai, Yavon, Edom, and all of that which is included in it, Mitzrayim, talk about Yishmael, it's an offshoot of Edom. Okay, there are many different ideas, but there are many different types of dimensions to the Gauls. Let's look at the reasons for the Simcha of Tu B'Av. You'll notice each one touches upon a different Tekufa, a different one of the Dalad Malchus. I'm just going to talk backwards. Let's first say Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is really the conglomerate of all the Dalad Malchus. What?
Prototype.
The prototype of all the Dalad Malchus, the Kolam Meisei Midbar. Okay? The Meisei Midbar, the sins of the Midbar are all rooted in problems of Mitzrayim. We left Mitzrayim prematurely. Because we left Mitzrayim prematurely, we never got out of ourselves our defects. And that's why in the Midbar there was the Chet HaEgel and the Meraglim by Nasu Utsi Esep Amin. What happened on Tu B'Av? Kolu Meisei Midbar. It was the end of that Tekufa. That Tekufa of the Dor Yoytzei Mitzrayim. The Dor Yoytzei Mitzrayim with all of the problems. Because they died. They died every single year in the Midbar for 38 years. They kept on dying. And now when they stopped dying, it was lifted some degree of the tsar, the pain, the baggage that we took with us from the civilized Mitzrayim. In Egypt, we were influenced by the Egyptians, with the Erev HaSaretz, Halolu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, V'Halolu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. We came into the Midbar, Egel, Meraglim, V'Yinasu Oisi Eser Pa'amim, and we had problems. And because we had problems, the Kodesh Baruch Hu punished us. The Tsarist, the Vayabis Sivloisam of Egypt did not end in the Midbar. In Mitzrayim there was slave labor, and in the Midbar, people were dying. We were wandering aimlessly for 40 years in the Midbar. It was no picnic. Okay, we had Anani Akovo, and we had Koilel. But in the big picture of things, you know, it was painful. The Meisei Midbar stopped dying. The Golos of Mitzrayim, in one respect, came to an end. And Michal, do you agree with this? Or am I saying a little bit stretched?
I'm just wondering how you're going to work. You should do it.
Okay, but this so far, I'm good. I'm good with this. You're masking to this. I'm Michal, this you're masking to, right?
Right. You tried something like this with when?
That worked. Are you happy with that? You were satisfied with Shavos B'Tamos. Shavos B'Tamos, the Tridentary. Okay, next. Let's go to Pilegesh B'Giva. This one you're not going to like, but it's still, there's still something there. Pelegesh Begiv Shev Binyamin. Mordechai and Esther. What Shevet are they from?
Binyamin.
One of the major themes, I don't have it worked out, but I'm just throwing out a raw idea. One of the major themes about Paras Umodai, the Geula, it's Shaul. It's all comes back to Binyamin. Binyamin is Ishimini, Hoya Bushushan Abira. It's Mordechai and Esther. They are the descendants of Shaul. There were two Mal kings in Klal Yisrael. There was Shaul, and then it was given over to David. Shaul represented a certain tekufa in the history of Klal Yisrael. Shaul is from Shevet Binyamin. Binyamin was decimated to the point of extinction. It's a miracle that there's anyone left today from Binyamin, because Binyamin would have been wiped out of the Peleg. There were only 400 men left.
According to the Gemara, they were also part of the people who left early, the 30 years. That's why when you have the, in Parshas Pinchas, when you have the census, Binyamin had 10 sons, right? Mm-hmm. How many families are mentioned? Five.
They were all wiped
five
out.
Five of the families were wiped out. They went out with Shevet Ephraim.
So Binyamin was on the verge of extinction. And yet, what happened on this day? Binyamin was resurrected. The whole story of Purim in the Mefarshim all goes back to Shaul. The Malchus of Shaul was a failure. It wasn't a failure, because the Malchus of Shaul really was the seeds that were planted in order that the Klal Yisrael exist today entirely. If not for the Shaul and what he accomplished, there wouldn't have been a Mordechai, an Esther, who wouldn't have saved Klal Yisrael. And the only yontif that's not going to be bottled la'asalava is Purim. So don't think that Shaul was just passing in the wind. He just, you know, he was a king for a few years and he was a failure. 7 years. And gone. He's gone.
It was, in fact, a transition, right, paving the way for David HaMelech.
He was. But that's what we think. But the truth is, Shaul is very much alive and well, because Shaul lives on in Purim, miracle. And Purim, Chazal says, is the most important Yom Tov. It's going to be not never bottled. If I feel lost a lover. So Shaul wasn't just passing the wind. He was physically a transitional figure to bring in the Malchus. But his contribution is eternal for Klal Yisrael. Binyamin was on the verge. Binyamin, everything that represented, that Shaul represents, because Shaul is from Shev Binyamin, was on the verge of extinction. And what happened on Tu B'Av? They came back to life. They gave them permission for them to marry in the Bnei Yisrael. So you're not going to tell me that Tu B'Av does not have a direct connection to the Golos of Paras U'Modai?
A direct connection?
Not, I mean, a connection. Not a direct. A connection. Being that the essence of Tu B'Av is Pilegesh Begiva, Binyamin, and Binyamin is the essence of the whole Tekufa. The Tekufa of Paras U'Modai is a Tekufa where Binyamin has played the most important role, going all the way back even to Shaul. So you see this something connected on Tu B'Av relating to the Golos of Paras U'Modai. There's a Geula, there's a degree of Geula relating to what connects us to Paras U'Modai, that Tekufa in our history. Now, Yavan is very easy. One of the things that we did, I didn't tell you, one of the six things which happened was that they brought a carbon eitzim. That people were allowed to be, what happened on this day? On this day, the Yeravim ben Nevat, okay, it's another example of a new generation, Yeravim ben Nevat divided Klal Yisrael, he rebelled. He took away from Rechavim 10 of the Shvatim. Okay, 10 Shvatim were taken away from Rechavim, and he made his own Malchus Yisrael. And what was he afraid of? If the people are going to be oil the regal on Mishol Shugolim, they're going to see the real deal, right, and they're going to know that I'm a phony, I'm a faker, and they're going to go back to David, and I'm going to be left with nothing. So you know what? He put sentries on the road, armed guards. No one dear can go to Yerushalayim during for the Mishol Shugolim. What happened on Tu B'Av? At some later point in time, the sentries were removed. It was an official proclamation that it's time to reunite, even though the Malchus never really came back together. Asher exiled the 10 Shvatim, but the sentries were removed, and everyone was now allowed to be Oile L'Regel. They can be Oile L'Regel. There was no longer a limit of being Oile L'Regel. When were these sentries removed? These removed on Tu B'Av, in which Tekufa? In the Malchus of Yavan. Now you'll ask me, what's Yavan? Yavan, the Malchus of Yavan.
The centuries were removed in the Malchus.
Yes, during the time.
Greek,
believe it or not, during the time of the Bayis Sheni, during the time of the Bayis Sheni, that's what it says. I'll read it to you. So even though we're dealing over here with
there was no Malchus.
Okay, so you're right. I'm a little bit. Okay, you're right. Give me one more. Yoim bitl ve'aron etam. Yoim bitl proistoy peros dios shochoshev yiram ben nevat. Hatam alibu yulis over here. Hatam harivi l'simcha hamichedes liyom tezav b'tu ba'af. I'm moving beside myself. It's tainis ula omar yoim shebitl hoshea ben ela hoshea ben ela prostio shochoshev yiram ben nevat al adrachem yali shol regel. Further, b'talmud yushalmi. Give me one moment. Who the time zeb shem rav chia bar ashi b'shem rav shabo hitir yoheshev and ela prosto shoyshev yom benavot al drachim kohena shal rav kahana shal rav hada. I'm just running ahead to find what is over here. Melch kills melch ashur. He asks a question. Give me one moment. 11. It says here, maybe it's a mingle, it says over here, one second, it was during the time of Malchus Yovan. Something very similar happened. Okay, give me one moment, I want to be a fool here in front of you. I know what I'm saying, I know I said this over here. Just give me one here for a second. This took place during the time, there's an event very similar, it's connected.
No, this is...
Here it is, I got it. Zman carbonates him. I made a mistake. It's not that event. Okay, I made a mistake. Not that, let's put that aside. The event I'm referring to is the carbonates him. Okay, the carbonates him. During the time of the Bayesheni. Another reason why we celebrate Tu B'Av, the Goyim did not allow us to go be oil l'regel, period. They put up sentries on the road not to allow the Jews to be oil l'regel. And what happened? There was a major shortage of wood. There was a shortage of wood to use to burn for the korbanos. So what did they do? There were people who went and they made ladders. They made believe they were in construction, and then these big ladders. And they said we're going to fix the electricity. And they came in and then they took the ladders. They broke it apart and they gave the ladders wood for the atzei hamarocha. Yes, no, this is the Megillas Tainis. In reward for doing this, these people were given a special yomtiv on Tu B'Av, and they can come and bring a korban eitzim. Because these people were moisa nefesh to bring wood for Klal Yisrael, so the korban should not be bottled, by disguising themselves as construction workers, and bringing ladders, and then using ladders as wood for the Atzei HaMaracha, they were given a special kavod that on Tu B'Av, they come and they bring what's called a korban eitzim. This is sugi in the Gemara, where you bring just wood. When did this gezera take place that you're not allowed to be oil in the regal and no one should dare bring wood to the mizbech and the mizbech should be bottled? This was during the time of Umahein b'nei Salmei Hanit Tufasi. Ella, that's what it says in Milos Tainus, Pamachas Gozer Malchus Yovan Harishoha Shlo Yoviu Eitzim L'Marocha V'yeshivu Prozdos Al Hadrach. They put sentries. Me'osu HaKasherim They made like ladders. They disguised themselves as workers. The point over here is, this took place during the time of Yavan. So we took care of Mitzrayim. We did Yavan. And we did Paras Umadai. What about Nebuchadnezzar? Well, Harugei Beitar. I mean, that's Pashat. Harugei Beitar. Harugei Beitar Nidl Lekvura. Harugei Beitar. What?
I would have said Edom.
I'm sorry. That's what I meant to say. Edom, because that was Edom. I'm bringing it as Edom, and the only one we have left is Nebuchadnezzar and Babel. And I had that worked out. What was one thing which happened? Case Shehutu Shvatim Lavoi Zebzen. That wasn't it. Okay, so the other one on Nebuchadnezzar is. Okay, so that I want to say that you can work with it. One of the things is Alma of the Haaretz, the Bayis Rishon, Alma of the Haaretz, Al Ozvam Es Toirasi. You have abandoned my Torah. What is one of the? What does it say in the Gemara? What do they do? What do they do on Tu B'Av? They broke the axe. Yoim Tabar Magal. Until this point in time, they were cutting wood for the Beis Hamikdash. And now that the sun is weak, they no longer cut wood for the maracha. They break the axe, and what do they do now? They go and they learn. They go to Kollel to learn. And the Gemara says, anyone that was Moisif adds more time to his learning is blessed. And a person does not want to add more time to his learning because of the free time he has now not to chop wood for the Beis HaMikdash, he should wither away. The Gemara says that the simcha of breaking the axe was you now had much more time to sit and learn. Learning Torah is the ikar ta'am given by Yirmiyah and the Haftorah on Tisha B'Av. Alma ozva ha'aretz, al ozvam es Torasi. Tu B'Av is yoim tabar magal, when you break the axe, to give you the time, the opportunity to devote yourself to the study of Torah. This is the galus of Nebuchadnezzar. So we presented from Tu B'Av five different examples, and each one hones in on one element that refers specifically to each one of the Dalit/5 Malchias. Mitzrayim, Pascha Mesei Midbar. Nebuchadnezzar, Alma Oz V'Haretz, Yom Tabar Magal. They stop cutting wood. The sun is weak. You can learn. Parasumadai, this is Binyamin, Pelegish Begiva. They can now marry amongst Klal Yisrael. Yavan, carbonates him. They put the sentries on the road. They were removed. Now they can once again they can go to the base. This is a celebration over the defeat of Malchus of Yavan. And Edom is Harugei Beita. That was done by Edom. That was in the Chabayis Sheni, and now it came to an end. So on this day we're celebrating the Geula from all of the five Golios. Okay, so that's my idea for today. Have a wonderful day.